Hello, and welcome to Right Now with Ralph Martin, a podcast where author, speaker, and worldwide renewal leader, Dr. Ralph Martin, shares what the Holy Spirit is stirring up in the church right now. Words of encouragement from the Lord to strengthen you for such a time as this. We are glad you can be with us this week as we seek to encourage you for this moment in history. And now, your host, Ralph Martin.
Peter and I just, you know, we work together, we live near each other, we talk a lot about the things of God, and we're going to kind of bring you into that conversation today.
Hey, Ralph, good to be back with you.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about hope, you know, because people ask the question many times, is there any hope for me? Is there any hope for where my life is headed? Is there going to be a good ending to my life, or are things not going to end well for me? Mm-hmm. And there's a temptation. You know, there's a spiritual battle that's going on in each one of our lives. We're fighting against, you know, the world, the flesh, and the devil. All three are invested in leading us to discouragement, hopelessness, despair. That's the battle that we're in. And death casts a shadow over all of our lives, and it wants to steal hope. We're afraid of what's coming, aging, you know, sickness, cancer, unexpected death, you know, a quick death of a kind of car accident or something like that. I don't know. People are living in fear.
Right.
And the culture is filled with a lot of fear.
Right.
You know, the military stuff that's going on in the Middle East, you know, the crazy constant reemergence of wars,
Yeah. Economic
problems, you know, political leaders that don't deliver on what they say they're going to deliver. And am I going to have money for my retirement? There's a lot of things
Sure. That
people are anxious about.
Sure.
And they can easily be gripped by that. And they slowly lose confidence in God and then lose hope. And what is hope? Hope is the confident expectation of the fulfillment of my life. And that confidence is rooted in the knowledge that Jesus Christ has conquered all of what we worry about and that we're in his hands. And so he says, be not afraid. But I want to begin with a passage here from 1 Peter, which I love. It's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and following. And Peter's writing a letter to a community in Asia Minor that he helped raise up. And they're suffering. They're being persecuted. They're being martyred. They're going through great trials.
And that's happening in different parts of the world, isn't it, now to Christians? Yeah,
it really could happen
here.
Yeah. So suffering doesn't mean, if we suffer, doesn't mean we have to lose hope. You know, the saints here, the early church, these brothers and sisters were filled with a confident hope even in the midst of really difficult circumstances in their life. So here's Peter, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, exclamation point. He's just bursting out, blessed be God.
Amen, you know? Amen.
By his great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That one line is almost a summary of the essence of Christianity. We've literally been born anew. How have we been born anew? Well, we have a share through baptism in the life of Jesus Christ, who is the firstborn of a whole new creation. Jesus destroyed the power of death. He passed from death to life, and now he lives absolutely, totally free of all that brings us down in the world. He's conquered it. He's swallowed up death in victory. He destroyed death's power, the sting of death, and the control that it has over the human heart and the human mind. And he's existing beyond death in glory. There's a whole new existence for the human race, and it's in a person.
Yeah.
It's in the risen life and glory of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, or like some of the fathers of the church said, God became man so man could become God. So we could go to a place that we never could get to on our own. We could live a life that we hardly can imagine that we would ever be given that blessing of living that resurrected life with Jesus. But that's what our hope is.
And Peter can say,
it's a sure hope.
And yeah, it's a sure hope. And Peter can say, we've been born into it already because we literally have a share in the life of glory that belongs to Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit given to us in baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And we're no longer subject to that whole regime of powers of the world, the flesh, and the devil that had control over us because Jesus destroyed those in his own life on the cross and passing from death to life. He's passed over into a life that will never pass away, that Peter will say later is imperishable, it's undefiled, and it's unfading, and it's kept in heaven for us who by faith are united to it by God's action.
Yeah.
So this is what the apostles are telling us. This is not just a spiritual idea. They're saying, first of all, we've beheld his glory. We saw him risen. We know, we saw the glory of what's to come for all of us in the person of Jesus Christ. And so they'd say, you too can have a share in that. And that's the ground of our hope, mm-hmm. is that we're united to Jesus, who has the power within himself of an indestructible life, and he can give that life to whomever he chooses. And if we say yes to him through repentance and baptism and faith, he transfers that life to us, which is stronger than death, the very thing he experienced. Peter says later in his second letter, I think, he says, we know that when we die, if we die in Christ, we will be just like him. You know, he's going to give to us a share of what belongs to him. And that's the basis of our hope. It's mercy, he said, that's the core, that's at the ground of it, because God gives it to us as a free gift. And my hope is not rooted in, have I reached my 5-year plan or my 10-year plan? Do I have all the financial security I want? Do I look the way I want to look? Do I have the friends I want to have? Am I in the right neighborhood? Am I achieving all the things I want to achieve in this life? That's not where my hope is.
Yeah.
Or my hope literally is, hope can only come from Christ.
Yeah.
Because everything's passing away. Yeah.
There isn't any real hope for the human race. There is no real hope for any human being apart from being found in Jesus Christ. If we're found in Jesus Christ, we do have the hope of everlasting life and everlasting joy. If we're not found in Jesus Christ, the prospect is death and destruction.
Yeah. It's one or the other.
Yeah.
And we have to understand that hope is a gift. You know, it's a spiritual gift. It's a virtue, faith, hope, and love, a theological virtue. The Lord gives to us when we come in faith, when we accept the gospel and this truth that we're talking about, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit gives us grace to be able to not only trust God, which we call faith, and abandon ourselves to him in the revelation of Jesus Christ, but then he gives us a deep confidence that what we see in faith is true, but it's true for us.
Yeah.
And the promises that Jesus made to us that we'll share a life of glory with him forever is absolutely true, and you can count on it no matter what happens in this life.
Yeah, and this is where our hope is grounded in what Jesus reveals to us by his deeds and also by his words. And that's why it's so important that people are clear that when Jesus teaches us something, and it's carried on to us by the apostles in the apostolic writings, these are indeed words of life. And so a lot of people have been robbed of hope because they've been robbed of confidence in the truthfulness and reliability of God's word. I believe that when Jesus told us these things that you've been speaking about, and when the apostles and the apostolic people wrote them down in the sacred writings, that we're getting a reliable transmission of certain truth that God wants us to know and hold in. So our hope is based on the truthfulness of God's word that's been revealed to us. So people have to kind of cut through all the confusion that surrounded the scripture and realize that what the Catholic Church teaches about sacred scripture is true. In the Second Vatican Council, it said in section 11 of the Constitution on Sacred Revelation, everything asserted by the sacred authors should be considered to be asserted by the Holy Spirit, and to teach firmly, faithfully, and without error those truths which God wished to consign to the sacred writings for the sake of our salvation.
Yeah, and it's you know, the Holy Spirit breathes this word, has secured the truth of this word, really, right?
Right.
And so the message of the apostles over and over and over again is we've beheld his majesty. We've seen his glory.
Yeah.
We know where we're going.
I believe the apostles.
Yeah.
I believe their testimony. And that's how Jesus intended it to be. It's all about whether we believe the testimony that God is giving to his son or not.
Yeah.
And belief, faith in the Word of God, faith in the deeds of Jesus Christ, faith in the person of Jesus Christ is absolutely essential for this all to become real to us.
Yeah, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, he said, when my gospel came to you, I know that you're chosen, because when my gospel came to you, it came not only in word, but in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with great conviction.
Mm-hmm.
And the word he's referring to, the core of the gospel, is what he preached. He said, I preach Jesus Christ as Lord. I preach Jesus Christ as Lord. And then he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, when I preach that, God the Father sheds his light into our hearts so we can have the knowledge of the glory of God that shines on the face of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So what he's saying there essentially is the confidence in the resurrection comes through hearing the preaching of the gospel and the conviction that's given to us by the Holy Spirit. We're able to see in the Spirit the reality and have knowledge, and sometimes experiential knowledge, you might say, of the risen Lordship of Jesus Christ. And I remember way back in 1978, when I was at the, actually this, I think it was the first time I ever heard you preach. Mm-hmm. I think it was at a Notre Dame conference where it was a decisive turning point for me in my life. I heard some very powerful gospel preaching that weekend about the reality of Christ's victory over the powers of sin and death, got called to repentance. But on that Sunday, the last day of the conference, and I'm praying just for grace to believe because I was struggling in my own life of being a consistent Christian. Mm-hmm. And in the midst of hearing a very powerful preaching of the gospel, I went to communion and I was praying on the way to communion, begging God, Lord, you know, give me the faith and the love and the hope, you know, that I don't have, at least I don't experience in my life. And I'm standing there and this gentleman who I didn't know, a total stranger, came up to me and right after communion tapped me on the shoulder and said, looked at my name tag and he said, Peter, you know, I'm back here waiting to go to communion. And as I was going, I was watching people go to communion in front of me. And I just happened to see you. And as soon as I saw you, I felt the Holy Spirit come upon me. He wants me to come and tell you something. Can I tell you something? And I said, yeah. And he said, son, the faith and love that you seek shall be granted to you because Christ loves you and he's died for you. Mm. And when he said it, I experienced just this tremendous grace of God. And what I saw in my heart, deep in my spirit, was the risen Lord Jesus. I mean, I just knew he was risen. I knew he was alive.
Yeah,
and I knew
there.
He was there.
Yeah, he
and
was
I knew
communicating
he's the,
to you.
He's the Lord of everything.
Yeah.
Everything is in his hands.
Yeah.
And it was like a teeny little glimpse of his majesty and his glory and his power, which Paul is saying here, when I preach Jesus Christ as Lord, God the Father sheds his light into our heart so we can see what? The glory of God shining on the face of Jesus. We see God's glory on a human face, on the face of Jesus of Nazareth, and we see the future of the new humanity. We see our future and the gift that he wants to give to us.
Yeah, and this really has practical implications for how you order your life in this world.
Yeah.
Like one of the scripture passages that's so important for Anne and myself is just before we got married, I was just sitting on the floor in my apartment and just wondering how it was all going to work out. And I felt like the Lord gave me a promise from the scripture. Luke chapter 12, it says the unbelievers are always worried about what they're going to eat and what they're going to wear. And you were talking about that anxiety and fear that's engulfing the world. But then Jesus says, I say to you, seek first the kingdom of God and his holiness, and these other things will be added as well, because your heavenly Father knows you need these things. So it's sort of like if you order your life around these truths that we've been talking about, if you order your life around the Lordship of Christ, you have God's promise that he'll take care of the basic needs that you have to fulfill your purpose for existing on this earth. It's not the prosperity gospel. It's not promising you a Cadillac.
Right.
It's promising you what you need to live your life on this earth if you put Jesus Christ first in your life. And so the practical implication of this wonderful vision that you've been laying out for us is to order our life under the Lordship of Christ. And not let anxiety and fear drive us or consume us or lead us to shape our life into a self-centered way. And people who don't trust the Lord, who don't know his love, who don't know the hope that we have, are so tempted to feel like it's all up to me. I'm in this world all by myself and I got to look out for number one. Yeah. And it's a life of anxiety and fear. And the Lord wants to free us from that anxiety and fear by knowing the true promise of his care for us in this earth, and also the promise of eternal life that begins now and blossoms into something utterly amazing.
Yeah, it's so interesting. You mentioned Matthew 6, essentially, right? Seek first the kingdom.
Same passage, yep.
And when I was in college, when I was 20 years old in Brady Hall at the University of St. Thomas, I was having a morning prayer after, you know, a year or so after this time I had at Notre Dame, and I was beginning to grow in faith. That very same passage just jumped out at me, and I really felt like the Lord said, if you put me first, if you take this as sort of your goal in life, to seek me first. I promise you, I will work in your life. I will bring you home. I will give you all that I promised. That's the key.
Yeah.
It's not my strength and my smarts and my wisdom. It's God's faithful promise.
Right.
And if you bank it all on the Lord and you stay with it, and the Lord's been amazingly faithful. I've stumbled, I've fallen, we have struggles, I have human weakness, but he has been faithful in my life to that simple promise.
Yeah.
And the Spirit just is urging us to trust this word because he wants us to inherit what belongs to Jesus.
Yeah, and there's another passage that comes to mind. It says, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything make your needs known to God, and then the peace of Christ, which passes understanding, will guard your heart and mind and keep you in Christ Jesus. So the Lord doesn't want his beloved sons and daughters to live in anxiety and fear. He commands us, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, make your needs known in prayer to God the Father. And then the peace of Christ will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus.
Yeah,
and there's so many other passages too. You know, Jesus says, don't worry. It's the shortest passage in the scripture. Don't worry. You can't add anything to your life by your own effort, so don't even try. But look at how I'm caring for the creation. Yeah. How much more will I care for you, or a little flock of you, a little faith? You know, how much more will I care for you? There's another passage in Hebrews chapter 13. It says, be content with what you have. Now you might say, how can I be content with what I have? If I, you know, if I had as much as Bill Gates has, you know, maybe I could be content, but you know, hey, you don't know my bank account, you know?
Right.
You know, be content with what you have because God has said. So what has God said that can make us content? I will never abandon you nor forsake you. And then it goes on to say, because of what God has said to us, we can therefore say, what can human beings do to me? God is my helper. Yeah. What can human beings do to me? So it's just that rooted confidence and faith in God's word and his love and his protection and his promises. And so contentment isn't a function of how much or how little money we have. It's a function of us living under the Father's love and care and clinging to his promise, knowing that there are certain promises.
And it's another exhortation to be in the Word of God, to be reading the Word of God and praying it each day and chewing on it, because a lot of times we can be ignorant of the promises.
Right.
We don't know.
We don't know what he wants to do for us.
We're working it out in our own head, and we're not really banking everything on the promise. I love this one from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. So we do not lose heart. You know, when we lose hope, we start to lose heart, right? We start to fall back. We do not lose heart. Why? Though our outer nature is wasting away, it's really true. And this is one of the things that scares us and causes us to lose hope. We get sick, we age, we get old, we're afraid of death, the things we were talking about earlier. So here's Paul, though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed every day. For this slight momentary affliction, he's talking about life, human life, right? This slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, because we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, and the things that are unseen are eternal. And that's the gift of hope. The hope allows us to really lay hold of what's eternal as a promise, as a promissory note, as a promise that's never going to be broken. It'll never be taken away. It'll never be defiled unless we, from our end, decide to make a break from God and yield to sin. But if we stay in the Lord, what Paul is saying, this eternal weight of glory beyond compare is waiting for us.
Right.
And all that we're suffering here, the church isn't, the church is so clear-headed about suffering and trial. The church doesn't hide from it. It's not a Pollyannish view of reality.
Yeah.
She looks right at trial and right at suffering.
Being under the Lordship of Christ doesn't mean we're not going to suffer, the trials aren't going to come, we're not going to experience the common human condition, but a huge difference.
Yeah, and Paul said, don't let it shake you. Mm-hmm. Don't let it shake you, because you already bear and hold the promise that's been given to you. And literally what's been given to you is the promise of an eternal weight of glory beyond compare. And the suffering and the trial right now, it may feel like it's long and never ending, but it's going to be over like that. Our life is brief. It's a passing shadow. And soon everything he's promised to us will unfold if we persevere in hope.
And this is really why they call us an Easter people, because Jesus is risen from the dead. things are settled for those who are Christians. And that's why it's so important also to evangelize. But we're an Easter people because Jesus is risen from the dead, because Scripture says, rejoice always, always give thanks, constantly pray. This is God's will for you. So God's will for us in the midst of the trials of life, in the midst of the suffering of life, is to always give thanks, rejoice always, pray constantly, and this is God's will. A lot of times people are saying, Jay, I wonder what God's will is for my life. I can't figure it out. Well, while you're trying to figure out whether to move to Chicago or not, or whether to get another job, or whether to downsize or upsize or whatever, while you're trying to figure those things out, remember the fundamental God's will for you. Rejoice always, always give thanks, pray constantly. This is God's will for you.
Yeah, and Paul tells us in Romans 5, our hope, this hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I think to do what you just reminded us and exhorted us to do, that comes from the grace of the Holy Spirit in our lives and our cooperating with Him. And I think—
You can't do that humanly.
Yeah, you can't.
You can only do that when the Holy Spirit is in you,
right,
giving you the grace to
right.
do that.
And you say, well, if you're in a place where you feel like I don't have much hope, I don't live with much hope, the first thing to do is begin to ask the Holy Spirit for the gift and the grace to know. Say, Holy Spirit, pour the love of the Father into my heart so I can see and I can live with the kind of hope that allows me in the midst of trial, difficulty, disappointment, struggle, to continue to say, even in the midst of all of this difficult stuff, I know what the Lord wants me to do. He wants me to pray constantly, to give thanks, to rejoice in Him, even in the midst of that difficulty and trial. And so if we listen then to the work of the Spirit in our life, what the Holy Spirit tells us, go on to Romans 8, where St. Paul says, the Spirit reveals to our spirit. Really, and this is the source of our hope and our love and everything. The Holy Spirit reveals to our spirit that we're children of God.
Yeah.
And the Spirit literally of God proclaims to our spirit, reveals to our spirit in the core of our being that we're children of God. And a cry from our own heart will begin to come out, Abba, Father, and begin to see, you know what? All is well.
Yeah.
All is well.
Yeah.
I'm in the hands of a loving Father. The Creator of the universe made me on purpose, for a purpose.
Yeah.
That
He will certainly bring to pass if we just stay faithful to Him
and
just keep clinging to Him.
He's utterly trustworthy.
Yeah.
I'm going to be okay.
Yep.
My kid, we're going to be okay.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
So
I might get cancer. This might happen. That might happen. I might lose my job. But Jesus is Lord and He loves me and He's going to see me through to the purpose of my life.
Amen.
Well, Peter, I'll tell you, the Christian message is a message of tremendous hope and tremendous joy along with suffering.
Yeah, and it's rooted in the knowledge of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I mean, Christianity, Augustine said, is the resurrection from the dead. It really is. It's the beginning of a new creation founded in the person of Jesus Christ, and we've been given by grace knowledge of that through the gospel, through the preaching of the gospel that's been given to us. And being baptized, we receive a share in that life, as we've been talking about the whole time. So Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10, if you confess with your lips that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It's just a summary of the core of really where hope is grounded. The belief in the resurrection of the dead, and then the confession that Jesus Christ is now reigning in that state, that resurrected, glorious state. You confess His lordship, and it's Jesus' existence beyond death, the new creation that's in Him. And I confess it. I believe in it. And I not only confess it as a kind of theological concept, but I believe and I confess with my heart that He's my Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And my hope is rooted in Him.
Mm-hmm.
He holds my future. He holds my lot. He's my whole life.
Yeah.
And the point now of my life isn't to have every success I want to make for myself here. It's to now, as St. Paul said, to live for the praise of His glory, or to make it our aim now to please Him. That's what hope allows me to say yes to.
Yeah. Amen. You know? Yeah.
So
I'd like to maybe just kind of offer a few closing words to those who have been with us today and heard this wonderful vision. I'd like to say that if you're facing discouragement, or you're facing even despair, and you're tempted to believe that there isn't any hope for you, I'd like to ask you to repent. That's a lie. That's simply not true. ask God forgiveness for falling into despair and discouragement, and reaffirm your faith in Jesus Christ, even if it hurts, even if it's hard to do, even if you've got to make an effort, even though it doesn't seem like your heart is in it. Say, Jesus Christ is Lord. He has not abandoned me. He has not left me as an orphan. He is with me. And even though I'm feeling miserable right now, even though I'm feeling down, even though I may be suffering in different ways, His promise to me is true. He is faithful, and He will do it if we just keep persevering, casting ourselves on the infinite, generous mercy of God.
This podcast is brought to you by Renewal Ministries, part of the Renewal Podcast Network. If you are enjoying this podcast, we invite you to help us spread the word by leaving us a rating or review, following or subscribing to this podcast, or sharing on social media. Until next time, this is Right Now with Ralph Martin.